Yahshua told his disciples that the kingdom of God is in your midst. That's what it says in the New American Standard translation. But right. Not every translation says that. A lot of translations say that the kingdom of God is within you.
Which is very mystical.
Right. So we're talking about the kingdom here. What's the difference between when Yahshua said that the kingdom of God is in your midst? If what he meant is the kingdom of God is within you, what's the difference between those two things?
Well, I guess you'd have to look at the fruit. What does the fruit produce is a better question. Mm-hmm. Okay, so those who are under the persuasion or understanding that the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven is within them, well, frankly, that's very subjective.
What does that mean? Like, if somebody thinks the kingdom of God is within them, like, what are they thinking?
As someone who tried to believe in something like that, mm-hmm. I don't think I got too far in it because I realized that it was so subjective and so independent. But I think the understanding was that there had to be a mind formed in you. Like, it was all about mental or intellectual knowledge that would emancipate you or set you free. And so the more knowledge you came across, the more knowledge you could soak up, understanding the concepts of, or the secrets of the universe, so to speak, then that would create a your own reality. At least that's the version that I subscribe to. But what I found myself experiencing in reality is that I had the same jobs as everyone else did. I was utterly dissatisfied with my life. I did not see a difference between what I was doing, how I was living. Even though my thoughts were so radically different, it didn't produce anything in the physical realm. And so ultimately, one is left to believe that in the future sometime, when you die and go to heaven, so to speak, right, is that then the kingdom would be manifested. But to me, that is the exact opposite of what Yahshua came and actually taught. He was talking about, like you said, the kingdom being in our midst, something you can, you know, something you can touch, something you can grab hold of, something you can experience, something you can interact with. The kingdom being in our midst versus being within us. I guess you could say that being in our midst is that all of a sudden you are now an active participant and accountable to bring about the kingdom alongside others who are willing to do the Father's will. Whereas those who are simply believing that the kingdom is within, you're left without anyone's help. You're left with being independent. You're left isolated and alone. And that's ultimately the persuasion of every spirit that's not of Elohim. Independent. Being lonely. Left to yourself.
So there's a spiritual reality to being in the kingdom. Like, if you're going to say that the kingdom of God is within you, then there's a certain kind of spiritual reality that goes with that. But does it translate into a physical reality also? And if it doesn't, then is that really the kingdom of God? Or is the kingdom of God something that's supposed to be not only spiritual, but also physical, a tangible reality in this age? Or is it something that's just for an age to come? I was thinking about this because I was reading where Peter went up to Yahshua in the story of the rich young ruler, because the rich young ruler went up to Yahshua and said, "What must I do to be saved?" Yahshua said, "You know the commandments." You know, the rich young ruler went on to say, "Yeah, I've kept all the commandments since my youth." And so then Yahshua said, "Well, one thing you lack. Go and sell all of your possessions and give it to the poor and come and follow me." But the rich young ruler left sad because he had great possessions. He wasn't willing to sell all of his possessions. The disciples witnessed this. They marveled because the rich young ruler was far more righteous than any of them. They weren't righteous at all. They were a bunch of
ragamuffins.
Right. They weren't as righteous as this rich young ruler. And then also their understanding of prosperity was that prosperity is something that is a blessing for being obedient to the commandments. It says in the Proverbs, talks about this, that prosperity comes to those who are obedient to the commandments. So they were thinking that his wealth was a benefit or a result of his righteousness. And so Peter thinks about this for a minute and he says, "Well, if he can't get into heaven, then what hope do we have?"
Right, right.
He's far more righteous than we are. A bunch of ragamuffins and misfits. And Yahshua said, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. So then Peter thought about it a little more, and he said, well, we've left everything to follow you. What does that count for us? And he started putting this together. They're not getting into the kingdom based on their merit, but they're getting into the kingdom based on their obedience from the heart, faith, really. That's what caused the disciples to follow Yahshua, is because they were persuaded by the heart to leave everything behind and follow him, and to no longer live for themselves, but to live for him, to live for one another, ultimately to live for our Father. So then Yahshua acknowledged him and said, truly I tell you, everyone who's given up houses and farms and lands and
brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers,
all of these things in my name and for the gospel's sake will receive 100-fold all of these things in this age. In this age, they're going to receive the kingdom in this age, and in the age to come, eternal life. You look around, and who has 100 farms? Who has 100 houses? Like, what's the reality of a people having 100 houses and 100 farms? People can claim they have 100 brothers and sisters, but like, really? Can you say that you're as close as blood with 100 people?
Exactly. Yeah. Let alone share a house or a farm with them.
Right.
Without any trespassing signs, so to speak.
Right. So was Yahshua exaggerating? Was he serious? Or was he being totally sincere and literally totally honest when he said, no, truly, I tell you, all of you are going to receive 100-fold in this age. And then there's the persecutions. In all of this, that produced a kingdom. In Acts 2 and 4, you actually see a demonstration of 100-fold there. Barnabas did that very thing in Acts 4. He took his property, he sold it, and he laid the proceeds at the apostles' feet.
Right.
They distributed the proceeds amongst all of them according to the need. They all had everything they needed, and everyone did this. The 3,000 people that responded to the gospel on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, they did the same thing, all 3,000 of them. Yahshua said, no one can be my disciple in Luke 14:33. No one can be my disciple who doesn't first give up all of his own possessions. So they all did this. They all sold everything, and they had this common life, a common pot, a kingdom that wasn't just within. It wasn't just a spiritual reality in their soul. They weren't just having, like, kingdom eyes. They weren't just, like, living their life in the world and then somehow perceiving this other realm, you know, with some kind of spiritual eyes. But they actually had a tangible reality, and there was a kingdom in their midst. And then so many people would settle on this Gnosticism, this knowledge of having some kind of spiritual understanding, understanding the mysteries of the universe, having spiritual powers, all of these things, apart from simply having the life. They settle on the spiritual power apart from the physical reality of it, and then it's something else. It's not the vibrant life that's supposed to be a demonstration of love and unity for the world to see. And so those spiritual powers, they don't really satisfy the soul the way that soul-satisfying relationships do. And like, that's the kingdom. The kingdom is soul-satisfying relationships.